Welcome to Money Mastery with your host, Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. Achieving financial confidence means understanding how to navigate market changes, plan for retirement, and make smart money decisions. Money Mastery is here to guide you with strategies, insights, and tools designed to help you pursue your financial goals. Now let's get started with Money Mastery with your host, Amanda.
Hello and welcome to Money Mastery. My name is Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out our past shows or to subscribe to our program on either Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. For many people, the idea of retirement feels like a balancing act for trying to enjoy the life we've built today without compromising the security of our future. As for often, I tell my clients, two things can be true all at once. You can spend all the things you love right now and still save efficiently for your golden years. So during our show today, we're going to look at how to navigate retirement planning without the guilt. We'll discuss why those small daily splurges don't have to derail your strategy and how to protect your long-term progress from lifestyle creeps, especially as you move through your 40s. But let me first introduce my co-host, Jacqueline, whose appearance on the show is always as welcome as the first day of spring.
Oh, now that's a flattering introduction, Amanda. Love it. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Just got back from my kids were on spring break. So we went to Florida for a couple days and it was nice to actually get in that sunshine.
Yes, I know. You look tan. You look like you're just glowing. And I could use a little bit of that over here. Can you come to Minnesota?
I don't know if I'm tan or sunburnt. Let's say that.
Either one is great. You're still sun-kissed.
That's right.
Well, I mean, I love that you are going to take on kind of this guilt-free angle today with this conversation. I think so many of us beat ourselves up over our coffee or a gadget. So I'm really looking forward to hearing how we can find that balance between living for today and planning for tomorrow.
So today we're actually going to be kicking off today's show by referencing a Kiplinger article, Small Splurges That Won't Derail Your Retirement. So this article actually highlights a few areas that I think a lot of people wrestle with, especially ones that get into their 40s and start thinking about more seriously about retirement. So on one hand, you want to be responsible. You want to save, invest, and make sure your future is secure. But on the other hand, we're also living your life right now. But what happens when you spend a little money on something you enjoy? Maybe that's the daily $5 cup of coffee at Starbucks, or maybe it's a new gadget you didn't technically need, but really wanted. Or maybe it's something like a designer bag or a special purchase you treated yourself to. A lot of people feel guilt about those kinds of splurges. They worry about spending money today is somehow going to derail their retirement plans 20 years down that road.
But Amanda, the truth is, it doesn't have to be that way, right?
Yes, that's exactly right. Because two things can actually be true at the same exact time. You can spend money on things you enjoy today and still save responsibly for the future. So enjoying your money doesn't have to come at the expense of your long-term financial goals. Small splurges like dining out, taking a trip, or buying something you've had your eye on can absolutely fit into a healthy financial strategy as long as your savings stays on track and those choices aren't forcing you into difficult trade-offs. So where things can actually start to get tricky is when splurging turns into something a whole lot bigger.
Yeah. And I think that's where a lot of people run into trouble, Amanda, because occasionally, you know, treating yourself doesn't feel like a big deal. I'll get my cup of coffee on my way to work. But if those little treats slowly become the new normal, that's when spending can start creeping up without people even realizing it.
That's exactly right. That's what financial services professionals often refer to a lifestyle creep. So it's when your spending gradually increases as your income rises. And instead of putting more of that additional income towards your long-term savings, it gets absorbed into more expenses day to day in your lifestyle. So another issue can be when people start dipping into retirement accounts to fund short-term spending or to cover debts that come from overspending. That's where things can really begin to erode the progress you've made over the years. So retirement accounts can be designed to support you decades down the road. And once that money comes out early, it can be very difficult to replace that long-term growth you might have lost.
Absolutely. And I think that's especially important for people in their 40s to hear, because that's often the stage of life where you're earning more than you did earlier in your career, but you're also juggling a lot of financial priorities.
That's right. So your 40s are often about protecting what you've already built while still enjoying the life you've worked so hard to create. The key isn't eliminating every indulgence or living your life without constant financial anxiety. It's about balance. So you want to make sure your retirement savings actually stays on track, but you should also feel comfortable enjoying your money along the way. So when you're going to talk about how you can strive that balance, how you can spend things on what you actually love while you're actually building that strong financial future.
Yeah. And if someone wants to enjoy their money today without feeling like they're sabotaging their future, how do they actually make that work in practice, Amanda?
So that's actually a great question. And it's something I hear from clients all the time. In fact, one of the most common questions I get in some versions of, can I buy this? And my answer is usually simple. Yes. If it comes from your discretionary income, in other words, the money that's left over after the important priorities are already taken care of. That means your bills are paid, you've built up a healthy emergency fund, and your retirement contributions are happening automatically. Once those fundamental pieces are in place, you have a lot more freedom to actually enjoy that money that remains.
Well, and it sounds like the key is making sure the important stuff really happened first.
You're right. So for example, when it comes to retirement savings, a solid rule of thumb is to at least contribute enough to take advantage of your employee's match if your workplace offers a tax advantage plan like a 401k. So that employee match is essentially additional money going towards your retirement, and it's something you don't want to leave on the table. So once that contribution is happening consistently, it becomes much easier to think about the rest of your spending in a more strategic way.
And I know that you've talked before on the show about organizing finances into different categories so that people can see where their money's truly going.
Right. And one strategy that many people find helpful is something often called a bucket approach. So the idea is to divide your finances into different buckets so that every dollar actually has a purpose. So when you do that, it becomes much easier to see what money is available for spending and what money needs to stay focused on your long-term goals. So that first bucket is what we might call fixed expenses. This is where your essentials live. Think of things like rent or a mortgage, car payments, utilities, insurance, groceries, and or any other regular bills that you might have. This bucket also includes your retirement contributions because saving for your future is one of those non-negotiable priorities. So these are the expenses that keep your life running both today and in the years ahead.
So that bucket is basically the foundation, Amanda.
You're right. So it's the financial base that supports everything else. That second bucket is going to be your emergency fund. So financial services professionals can often suggest keeping somewhere around 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses set aside here. That money acts as a safety net if something unexpected happens, like maybe losing a job change, a major repair, and or any other surprise expenses. Having that emergency fund in place can help you avoid relying on high interest credit cards or expense loans when life throws you a curveball.
Yeah, and having that safety net probably makes it easier to relax a little about spending too.
It really does. So Because once your fixed expenses are actually covered and your emergency fund is in good shape, you can move to that third bucket. And this is the one people usually like the most. So that's the splurge bucket or your discretionary spending. This is the money you can actually use and determine how you use it. So if you want to take the trip, buy a new phone, upgrade your laptop, or treat yourself to something special, this is where that spending can come from. So if that money's already there, you can enjoy that purchase without guilt because you know the rest of your financial plan is still intact.
Yeah, the idea isn't to eliminate splurges. It's just to plan for them.
That's it. So where people tend to run into trouble is when those splurges happen unexpectedly and get put on a credit card without a clear plan to actually pay them off. Or maybe it's a vacation that gets charged to a card or a purchase that seems small at the time, but then ends up carrying a balance month after month. That's when spending can start creating stress instead of enjoyment. But when those purchases come out of your discretionary bucket or money that's already been set aside for that purpose, you can actually enjoy them without feeling like you've done something financially irresponsible.
Well, I like that bucket idea because it feels practical, you know, but I'm guessing some listeners might still be wondering how that actually looks with real numbers, Amanda.
So that's actually a great point because sometimes it helps to see an example. So let's just say someone brings home $8,000 per month after taxes and their fixed monthly expenses for like housing, utilities, insurance, groceries, and regular savings contributions total about $4,000. In that case, the fixed bucket would take up $4,000. That means all expenses are covered and your retirement saving goals are covered. So you're already building that into part of your plan. Then let's say another $2,000 goes into your emergency bucket. Now the exact amount someone puts here will determine on where they are going to build that 3 to 6 month savings net we talked about earlier. But if someone is still working towards that goal, they might prioritize adding more to this bucket for a little while. But once those two buckets are taken care of, that still leaves $2,000 available for that splurge bucket.
So that $2,000 is essentially the enjoy life money.
Nicely put. So that money you can actually use for travel, hobbies, dining out, technology upgrades, or whatever brings you enjoyment. And the key here is to make sure that those first two buckets are already covered. That way, spending doesn't have to come with guilt because the important financial priorities have already been addressed.
Well, I like the splurge bucket the best. But Amanda, now what about those moments when, you know, extra money shows up, like maybe a tax refund, a bonus, or maybe a raise?
So absolutely, those moments can actually be powerful opportunities to strengthen your financial strategy. So if your discretionary spending is already comfortable covering what you want, you could direct those windfalls towards your long-term goals instead. So for example, a tax refund or bonus could go towards boosting your retirement savings or helping you finish building that emergency fund. Raises are another big one here. So when income increases, it can be a good time to increase your retirement contribution rate as well. So that way, part of your raise goes towards strengthening your financial future instead of quietly disappearing into the higher day-to-day spending.
Well, that probably helps prevent that lifestyle creep we talked about earlier.
Yes, and being intentional with those increases in and out can make a big difference over time. And really, the whole conversation comes down to being intentional about how you spend and how you save. So the goal isn't to eliminate enjoyment from your financial life. It is to create a structure where you can actually enjoy your money today without putting your future at risk later.
Well, absolutely. Now, some people might hear the word strategy or maybe buckets and think it sounds a little complicated, Amanda.
And that's fair. If the bucket approach feels like too much of a strategy, the most important thing is very simple: having a budget and sticking to it. So however someone organizes their finances, the key is knowing that you can truly afford what you purchase before actually making that purchase. So if something you want isn't currently in your budget, one option is to set aside a little from each paycheck until you have enough saved to actually pay for it and feel comfortable. That way you can still enjoy that purchase when it comes time without actually relying on debt or putting stress on the rest of your financial strategy.
Yes. Well, Amanda, let's take a quick pause. Before we keep going with today's conversation, can you please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information on this?
Just give us a call at 919-342-7715 or visit us online at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net. Scheduling consultation only takes a few minutes and we're always happy to work around your schedule.
Perfect. Thank you, Amanda. Now we're going to take up a second article that fits nicely into today's theme. What do you have for us?
So we're going to take a look at a second Kiplinger article. Are you a retirement millionaire too afraid to spend? So if you've been able to build up a sizable nest egg, but are apprehensive to actually enjoy some of it, there are six solid steps you might be able to use to overcome those feelings.
And I imagine that hesitation makes sense. After decades of saving, people probably get very used to being careful with their money.
So absolutely. Many people spend their entire working lives being disciplined savers. They build habits around being cautious with money, delaying purchases, and prioritizing the future. So retirement arrives and suddenly that plan actually shifts. Instead of saving and accumulating, the goal becomes using that money to support the life you actually want to live. So that can actually require a real mindset change. So one of the first steps to recognizing that the whole purpose of saving all those years was so that you could eventually use that money, the nest egg isn't just there to sit untouched forever. It's there to actually support your lifestyle once you're no longer working. So one way to make that shift easier is actually to connect your money to purpose. So for example, maybe you've saved so that you could travel more, spend more time with family, or help your children or grandchildren with major life milestones. When people connect their money to those kinds of meaningful goals, spending it often feels much more comfortable.
Yeah, that makes sense, Amanda. Because when money is tied to something meaningful, it doesn't feel like just wasting it.
That's the idea. So it actually feels like using it all the right ways is intended. So another important step is being intentional about how much you actually plan to spend in retirement. So one way some financial services professionals describe retirement is actually like climbing a mountain. So during your working years, you've built wealth and working your way up towards that summit to the point where you've accumulated enough to actually retire. So once you reach that peak, the journey changes. So instead of climbing upward, you begin descending the mountain as you gradually draw down your savings to actually support your lifestyle. So for many people, that shift can feel uncomfortable. The balance in their accounts may slowly decline over time, even if everything is going accordingly to plan. That's why it's so helpful to determine in advance how much you're comfortable spending each year and how much you intentionally want to leave behind for your family, charity, or any other goals. Having those numbers clearly defined can give people the confidence to actually enjoy the money that remains.
Yeah, and I assume that's where having a strategy becomes pretty important.
That's right. So your inception is spot on. So once you've actually reached retirement, it's not just about how much money you've saved. It's also about how you withdraw those funds. So many retirees have money in multiple accounts like IRAs, 401ks, brokerage accounts, or Roth accounts. Each of those accounts can have different tax considerations, and eventually required minimum distributions may come into play as well. So that's why developing a thoughtful withdrawal strategy can make a big difference here. Some approaches are designed to help retirees adjust their spending based on market conditions, while others focus on ensuring essential expenses are covered first. So that goal is to actually create the system that provides both structure and confidence so that you feel comfortable spending without consistently worrying about whether you're making a mistake.
And Amanda, I'm sure market volatility can add another layer of anxiety for people in retirement.
It certainly can. So when markets are choppy, some retirees instinctively want to pull back on spending out of fear that their savings might not last. That's why testing different scenarios without a financial strategy can be so valuable. For example, what happens if markets become rough this year? What happens if returns are lower than expected for a period of time? If a financial strategy can withstand those types of scenarios, it can give you the confidence to continue enjoying retirement without overacting to short-term market movements. And if the plan actually shows potential challenges, that simply just means it might be time to make an adjustment.
Right, Amanda. I mean, it comes back to planning once again, which is the theme that we're talking about throughout the entire show.
Yes. So planning creates possibilities. So another helpful idea is creating what some people call a permission to spend budget. So in other words, if travel is something you've always wanted to do in retirement, include it in your financial strategy. If helping family members is important to you, plan for that as well. So when those goals are already built into your strategy, spending that money doesn't feel reckless. It simply feels like following through on your strategy you actually created.
Yeah, and that probably helps people avoid the regret of being too cautious.
That's an important point. So retirement tends to unfold in phases. So early on, people often have the most energy and the most interest in traveling, hobbies, and new experiences. So as time goes on, spending patterns often change naturally. So if someone spends those in the early year being overly cautious and holding back on things they wanted to do, they may miss opportunities they can't easily recreate later. And that's why it's important to remember that retirement isn't just about preserving money. It's also about making the most of the time you have. So you've built a solid financial foundation and having a thoughtful strategy in place, the goal should be to actually use those resources to support the life you worked so hard to create.
Absolutely. And today's takeaway might be a little reassuring for people listening, Amanda. You don't have to feel guilty about enjoying your money as long as it's part of a strategy.
I agree with you there. So saving for the future is important, but the purpose of that savings is actually to enjoy, support the life that you want to live. So with a clear vision, intentional spending, and the right strategy, people can often find a healthy balance between protecting their future and actually enjoying the present.
Well, I love that. And I've really enjoyed today's show, Amanda. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share before we're done until next time?
If you have any questions about retirement and your financial strategy, visit my website at www.aspiremoneymanagement.net or call my office at 919-342-7715. We'd love to help you protect your savings and feel confident about the road ahead.
Well, thank you, Amanda. And that does it for this episode of Money Mastery with our host, Amanda Mangum.
Thank you for listening to Money Mastery with Amanda Mangum from Aspire Money Management. If you're ready to take the next step toward a stronger financial future, contact Amanda and her team today at 919-342-7715 or visit aspiremoneymanagement.net. Be sure to tune in next week for more financial strategies and insights right here on Money Mastery.